Don't condemn yourself and don't get upset because you're not measuring up to your own expectations, what your heart wants. Don't get all bent out of shape, you know, and get discouraged that you can't do it and all. Don't get all of that going on. Just hear the word. Faith come by hearing. Hear it. Just hear it. You can, and all of that, you know, and you will learn to train yourself. I'm in training. I'm in training. I'm training. I'll start thinking about, you know, but how many knows you got to be diligent? Diligent to come to church. I'm diligent to come to church. I don't look for a reason not to come to church. It's because you're the pastor. I did that for a pastor, okay? No, I was diligent. They tried to get me to go to, like Teresa's talking about, to other churches, revivals going on. And when my church was having service, I was in that service. I've been rewarded for that. I'm being rewarded now for that because I was diligent. Diligent to stay in the will of God. Diligent. People would tell me, well, you know, it don't really matter, you know, where you go, long as you're going to church. I said, I don't find scripture in the Bible for that. I said, I found in the Bible where it says that it is God that sets us in the body as it pleases him. I said, I find that God puts his people where he wants them to be. I said, what I realized back then is I wanted to go where I wanted to go because I wasn't challenged of things that church challenges me with. Because why? Because God has me there, and God knows where I'm going. God knows what he wants me to be. God knows how he wants me to be. God knows the plans that he has to you and me. And so he sets us in a place to where, just like we send our kids to school, not just to play. They need to learn how to read, learn how to write. Then they have tests, and then, you know, and then they give them good grades, and then they pass them on to the next one, and we want them to be smart, right? Well, a disciple is the same way. And so we train ourselves, and so go into the house of the Lord. I mean, these people sitting, they'll sit and watch. They'll watch me till I say something that gets on their nerves, and then they'll turn me off about 9.5 minutes into the sermon. Then God will change that, and then I'll go on and we're all just blessed. Right? They missed it. See, but when you're planted in the house of the Lord, you can't turn him off like that. You just can't turn him off. He'll get on the channel and he'll stay on it. And stay on it. Teresa's been on that channel for 5 weeks. You know, been on it, and it's good. I'm like, glory to God. And, you know, and I'm rejoicing in areas. For an example, I mean, when I was raised in a family of 17, okay, we didn't have no money. We really didn't have no money, you know. If I did, I mean, if we did, I didn't know about it. Come on up, you know, and just used to that. I mean, it was hard, but we didn't know it was hard. That's life, you know. And all of that, I get born again, get saved, and I begin to realize, you know, in the Bible, because my family didn't follow the Lord, I begin to realize in the Bible, you know, that the blessing of the Lord. Well, then I started believing God and all of that. Then money started coming in to where I could buy anything I wanted to buy anytime I wanted to buy it. And I did. And it wasn't well with me or the Lord, you know. Because I felt like, man, I've been deprived all my life, and the enemy, here he comes, just, you know, in there. And he persuaded me to waste a lot of money for a lot of years after I was making money. You know what I'm saying? And so I realized, you know, I've got to get in control of myself, praise God. You know, the money belongs to the Lord. My money belongs to the Lord. That's what I started thinking. Everything belongs to the Lord. You know, and if I let the manager of the universe help me to become manager like him, well, then what can I accomplish? And so I did things. I did things. One thing that I did, I'm not telling you to do that. I did it. I got a $10,000 credit card, and it was approved. I'm talking about live in my pocket. And I never put one dime on that credit card in 9 years. And we went through that down to where I didn't even have the money to buy a cold drink to come to church, gas to come to church, or cold rank. That's in the time that I was doing that. See, that hit when I decided to do that, not long after that. So don't let it shock you whenever you begin to work on something that you're not attacked and attacked majorly at times. Don't be shocked. Just be diligent. Don't come off that diligent. The Bible says in Proverbs, give me that scripture, Proverbs 12:24, is it? I believe it is, Zach. The hand of the diligent. Somebody say diligent. I mean, diligent means making painstaking effort not to change in this manner, what I'm talking about. Change is good. I'm not talking about not changing. You know what I'm saying? You're believing God for something. So time coming, I thought, well, you know, good Lord, you would want me. You don't want us to suffer like this. I'm not going to run out of gas trying to go pastor. And I was reminded of how I went to church and back on a quarter of a tank, and it takes a half. So I was reminded of that, and I thought, well, he won't let me run out of gas, you know, so I can quit using that excuse. But you know what? I made up my mind. I thought, nope, I'm not coming off of this. I am not coming off of my commitment. I was using this to discipline myself to where I'm in control of what I spend and when I spend and if I spend anything. And you know what? I'm in control today. I took that $10,000. You might take a $100 bill or something. If you ain't got no self-control, if you don't start working on it, you won't never develop it. If you don't work on your marriage in the Lord, it won't get better. The Bible says the hand of the diligent will bear rue. The hand of the diligent shall bear rule. You will get in control. That's what Teresa was talking about, the Apostle Paul. He said, in other words, he worked out at doing this stuff. You know, and just like with boxers. I mean, they don't lay around. When Vander Holyfield was up against Mike Tyson and all them, I used to steal cable to watch them. Whoo, climb that pole. I'm watching them, baby. You know, I mean, they didn't lay around and say, well, they're just nothing. No, man, these dudes was in the gym day in and day out. And they would say, we got to lose so much weight. You can't go in at this weight, or you've got to gain weight. Whatever they needed to do to get conditioned for the fight that they were in, they did it. And so that's exactly what diligence does. It conditions me and you, praise God, to win. Just preached on sure victory. I preach on trials a lot. I preach on trials. I preach on prosperity. I bring it all in. It's like a whole, I mean, you know, when I make me a salad, I don't like just lettuce. Buddy, when I get a salad, I go in there and, I mean, I get two or three different kinds of lettuce and stuff. Teresa buys little trays that's got all different kinds of leaves in it. I don't know what all it is in there. Then that romaine lettuce and stuff. So I'll just mix that together. Then I put me a little bit of bacon bits on the top. Then I go in there and see if there's any bell pepper, and I'll chop it up. I mean, I've just got a variety in a. I don't like a plain, bland salad. And I don't like just plain, bland faith. Praise God. I like to bring in joy with my faith. Peace, hallelujah. It passes all understanding. I've trained. You got to train yourself to walk in peace. Like Doris, she had a choice. Now, every one of us. So what? Groceries goes up. Stop eating as much. It's real simple. Instead of opening two cans of beans, open one. It won't cost you about half of what it used. We're smart, man. You know. Used to go down shopping when you didn't have to, just don't go. Guarantee you end up with more money in the bank. I mean, it don't take nothing supernatural there. Teresa said, well, you got that motorcycle. You could go check your cows on the motorcycle. I said, yeah, probably could. Those 6-0 uses about $6 worth over there and back. The motorcycle probably won't use but 50. I can go three times as much as I was, Johnny, to see my cows. Just go on the old Harley, bud. They don't know the Harley. I ain't brought no feed in on the Harley. But now they know the white truck. They hear it coming all the way from Bluntsville. Usually when I come up from the town end, they show up at the barn. But if I come up from the other end, they don't show up at the barn. Why? Because they know when I come from that way, them cows ain't stupid. They know that I'm more than likely bringing feed. My bull was out last night. Jeffrey called me. That bull heard me coming, and he was back to the cows where he thought he might get some feed before I got in there. I'm serious. Why? I trained them. I trained on purpose. Trained them cows with feed. I on purpose. You know why? I didn't have to get out of my truck to get them back in. I can almost whistle, and they'll come a-running. They'll be like a herd of buffalo coming around through there. I'll say, come on. And I'm telling you, they'll, and I can see them all the way from the pond. And then they come around that curve trying to beat each other to the grain. Did you know I'm bringing up a natural, but you know we can use the same wisdom and principles in our life to, like Doris, when brought it up, as you've been noticing, it's costing more to go to the grocery store, and that's trying to worry her. That is worrying a lot of Christians. They're not in church today because they don't feel like going because they worried all week. According to what Biden says and CNN says and Trump says. I'm not a Trump man. I am not a Trump man. You got it? I'm not a Trumper. Some people think I'm Republican. I'm not Republican. I'm not a Trump fan. I'm not a Joe Biden fan. I'm not the next man that gets up fan. We got to be a Jehovah Jireh fan. We got to have our trust in them and not Trump and not the next whoever it is. None of them are God. And I'm going to be diligent to keep my trust in the one that is able to deliver me and to set me free and keep me free. Hallelujah. I'm going to be diligent to trust in him. I'm going to train myself. I have trained myself. You know, you can train your flesh. Our flesh is trainable. Travis, he's out there in Louisiana. He going to see Duck Dynasty. He likes Phil, you know. He likes him because he was nobody and was on drugs and all of that stuff. And now he's he's worth a lot of money. The Robertson family, Duck Dynasty, you know, they took them off. A&E took them off because when the pandemic started, because they bringing up Jesus and prayer and God. So A&E took them off. So Travis stopped watching A&E, boycotted A&E. A lot of people boycotted A&E and told them, y'all are done. We are done watching y'all. You know what? They put old Phil back on. So Travis looks up kind of to him because of his testimony, how he's a drug head and all that, and how he give his heart to Jesus, and he lives pretty much off the land over there. So Travis wanted to go over there. And I'm telling you this for a reason. And then he says, I think the condo we rent is just going to be just a few miles. He's watching right now probably. Just going to be just a few miles or not far from the church. I'm going to go to church with Phil Robertson. He ain't in church. He told Teresa, he said, you know how you get excited, you know, and you're going to do something like that, go to church? He said, then when it comes down to doing it, you don't got it. She said, yeah, I know exactly how that feels, you know. And he might be, I doubt it. He's probably watching us. But that's a perfect example how that you set out to do something, but then things change and get you to change course. You set out to prosper, and then lack shows up. You set out to have joy in your life. Then bad circumstances that are not favorable come your way to get you off course, because the Bible says the joy of the Lord is my strength. Not the joy of having enough money. Not the joy of having enough land. All of that stuff is good, and I believe God for it. But that stuff is nothing without my God in my life. Without faith and joy and peace and temperance. Hallelujah. Which God is. He is the God of patience. Hallelujah. It says the hand of the diligent. Diligent in your marriage, y'all will bear rule. Put God first in your marriage, and you'll have a good marriage. Don't mean you won't have no hiccups and bumps, but you put God first. My sister come to me one time, and she said, well, my husband don't serve the Lord, and he won't give me money to tithe. I said, don't try to make your husband serve the Lord. I said, you serve the Lord. You be diligent. Don't be concerned about your husband. You just go after the Lord. How many knows it don't say the hand of the diligent wife that puts up with her husband shall bear rule, right? It says the hand of the diligent or the husband. You know, we backslid on the Lord, and I'd give my heart back to Jesus pretty quickly, realized that he's the only thing I had going in my life, you know, and brought it to where that. Well, Teresa, I'd give my heart back to the Lord and surrender to the Lord. I come to her, and she said, don't ever bring church up to me. I'm not going to church, blah, blah, cussing, you know, all of that stuff, you know. And I said, fine. I said, that's fine. I wouldn't want you to serve a God that you didn't love. I said, that's fine. I said, but you don't bother me about my reading and praying and fasting and all that, and I won't bother you. And you know what? I went on, praise God, and it was a challenge, Johnny. It was an absolute challenge to go to church without my wife. But I went without her. I went without her because I thought, I'm the man of this house, praise God. That don't mean I tell her what to do and try to dictate her. That means I got to lead my family. Lead. Somebody say lead. Lead. I've got to lead my family in the ways that they should go. Train up a child. Hallelujah. It's not just talking about kids. We're children. Well, you know what? I went on, praise God, and I went on to church, and I'm trying my best to serve the Lord again out here, and you know, and all of that stuff. And then before you know it, I come in, and Teresa says, if you'll go back up yonder, I'll go. I'll go to church with you. I said, fine, praise God, hallelujah. Get ready. And here we are 20-something years later. See, what if I'd have just said, well, ain't no use. She's done too far. I can't go by myself. You know what? I just can't do it anymore. And she's not at church, and it's not the same. And I hear it. The people's kinfolk dies, their husbands, their wives. They just can't go to that church no more because there's too many memories in there. I just can't go there. What? Has God told you to move? Has God told you to quit? I'm sure they died and they didn't leave the camp. They died all through the Bible. They didn't leave the temples. They put their trust in the Lord. They got healing from the Lord. I'm not downing people. That's real. That is a real scenario. But that has to be subdued. That's emotions. Just like, you know, not having enough or whatever. All of that has to be subdued. And diligent people will subdue it, and they will bear rule. Then I've seen those lose their loved ones, and they march right on. And they march right on in the place where they're at. They don't look for something to fill any voids. They already have the void filler on the inside. And then they have the good memories of the long service they had together and fellowship they had together and the life that God gave them together that brings healing to them. And I've seen them gear up and get in ministry. I can take you to a bunch of them right now that gets that food ready. They didn't quit. They didn't quit their church. They didn't quit ministry. They absolutely got busier in ministry. I can take you to a bunch of them. And I walk in up there and I thought, this is me. This is me in my latter years, Lord. These people, you know, you have to stay out of their way. They're driving forklifts. No, when they get on them forklifts, man, I'm watching them, man. I'm staying out of the way. Actually, I went up there and told them, I said, I'm going to load my truck if y'all don't mind. They're doing good. They got the anointing. But they'll nearly run over each other. I'm like, dude, you didn't even see him. Man, your glasses are firing up, homie. Clean your glasses. Yeah, they're old, man. They're 80s. They're 80s, man. They're up there getting that. I'm looking for him when he comes out in the box truck. He's wide open, that old man. He comes out of there and rocks that old box truck. Wonder, he ain't even looking. I'm like, I'm going that way. I'm not going to meet him on that little back road. But they're servants of the Most High. They're not quit. They've not retired. They've not sit down. Why? Because they have been diligent their whole life, and they don't know nothing else, Johnny. They trained themselves to serve the Jesus that me and you are learning and training ourselves to be in compliance with. They're veterans, hallelujah. We got to be diligent to fellowship and trust in the Lord. Diligent to stand on the word and everything that challenges us. Diligent to fellowship. You know, that was a part, just like Monty, they give these examples, you know, and it's good, you know, ooh, glory to God, you know, but do it yourself. The Bible says the small foxes spoil the vine. The small things that we don't acknowledge the Lord in can ruin the whole vine, spiritual vine. Just like Monty and them, you know, facing this, been off a week, got COVID, their bills rolling right on, their house payment, all their bills are coming right on. Then the van's tearing, things happen, you know, and all of that stuff compiled on it. And all of that, and you know what? They gave it to the Lord. He healed that van. You can't make me believe he didn't. Bless God. That van wasn't running good. Well, it just straightened up. You think what you want to. I'm going to believe the supernatural happened. I'm going to believe because they trust in the Lord, because they tithe. He rebukes the devourer for their sake. The scripture don't lie. The Bible says all things work together for the good to those that love me and those that are called according to my purpose. Well, I love the Lord. You won't tithe. I love the Lord. You won't give. I love the Lord. You talk about people. You gossip about people. Don't say you love the Lord. He's not into all of that. That mat box, run across him yesterday. He just hadn't been able to stay off of drugs. He'll leave here, get clean, fall right back, and all of that. Well, I'm just going around. I went to Bluntsville yesterday when I got back. I guess it was yesterday. Anyways. And he's walking down the street. And I just rolled my window down, and I said, hey! He went, he can't see good. He got glasses on. He can't see who I am. So he just, like, that, you know. And I thought, oh, yeah, don't do that to me. So I went around the block. He's going down in front of the police station, where you go to court, you know. And so I go around the block, you know, and I pull off over there across from the police station. He came down there and said, hey! I said, come on over here. He got over there and he took his glass. Oh, I see who you are now. I said, yeah, you didn't know who it was. I'm just going to let you know who I am. He's brushing me off over there, man. Maintain that, you know. And I said, look, man, I've been waiting on you. What you been waiting on me for, Brother Scotty? I said, you could be one of Bluntsville's best drummers. You could be the best drummer Bluntsville ever had. I said, and I've been waiting on you. I said, I tried to work with you the first time. I said, I've been waiting on you to get here. I've been waiting on you to get in there where the Lord can help you get clean and get straightened out. Hallelujah. And I said, you can be the best drummer they are on the planet in the Lord. Okay, and then he said, He said, "Oh, man." He said, "Man, I love you, man." I said, "I know it." He said, "You just don't give up on me, are you?" I said, "Why would I give up on you, man? Why would I?" I said, "Jesus don't give up on me. He ain't gave up on me. He ain't never turned me away. Why would I want to turn you away? Why would I want not to help you do what you..." "Man, I'm coming to church tomorrow." And I believe he meant it, Johnny. I believe he meant it. It's just circumstances and things. It was raining. He probably didn't wake up in time. Satan probably gave him thoughts and kept him up all night. Y'all Christians can stay up too late on Saturday night. I don't set up late on Saturday night. I hadn't set up late on Saturday night in 28 years. Why? Because I'm going to feel good in the house of God. Because I'm not going to go to sleep during Sunday school. I'm not going to be too sleepy. I can't hold my head up during 11:30 service. I need to be alert. I need to be receptive from the Lord. Hallelujah. Gosh, we're getting deep, ain't we? Heavy. I like that, Johnny. Heavy. This is heavy. Yeah, well, learn how to carry it. Build your muscles up. I went down and we was up over on the Sipsey River. That's where we rented a little cabin. Satan, "Well, you need some more time. I've been busy for about 3 months. I ain't had time to get over and born or nothing, you know. And you need some time off. You need longer than from Wednesday." I mean, we come to church. I preached and we drove up there. We got up there about 10. Now, I could have left at 4 and called somebody to come preach. I'm not looking for a reason not to come to church. See, a vacation's not what I need. I need Wednesday night. Right? So don't ever train yourself like that, like the world. I need to get away from... I mean, they don't need to get away from nothing but God, some of them. Sunday. "I need some time off. I've been too busy." You're taking time off of the wrong thing. Be diligent to put... Listen, you're investing in yourself is the most powerful thing that you could ever do, is invest in yourself. Spiritually, physically, financially, hallelujah. Well, you know, we go up there, and it's great. You know, you walk down some stairs, and you're down on the river down there. That's great, man. You know what? My legs were sore. Saturday, Friday evening when I got home. I told Teresa, I said, "Man, my legs are sore." Well, I'm bass fishing. I'm up and down that river. You know, I mean, when I'm bass fishing, I don't stand still. I mean, I'm all the way down, climbing over everybody else's boat docks and everything. I'm down through there. I'm after them bass if I'm going to fish. Well, I've learned the bass are not going to be like, "Whoops, Scotty showed up here. Let's run down there and get on that lure." Man, you got to be diligent. Teresa, she don't believe me, but I caught more fish than her. I got down there and I start moving the banks, man. I start shaking the water. I start shaking it up. Why? I trained myself to be diligent after them. And I never come home hardly without bass. But now Teresa sits there, "Wish them fish hurry up and come around. Wish them fish hurry up and come around. Hey, you catching anything yet? And throw 3 back." Whatever. You ain't moved. But you know what? I got out and I told her, I said, "I'm sore. My legs and stuff are sore." I said, "I've been working out parts of my body that I hadn't been working out." That soreness is not a bad thing. Some Christians say, "Well, it hurts, so just don't do it again. Don't go down them ladders again." No, I believe in God to be patient, and all hell broke loose in my life. I ain't believing for another lick of patience. Why? That pain, right? The pain. We don't like pain, hallelujah. But you know what? Pain is what caused me to have a good marriage. Pain of being broke and everything is what caused me to have finances today. Going to work, I heard a guy say, Phil Robertson, he said it one time. He said, "You know what?" He said, "If you put gas in your car, He said, and go to work. He said, you'll get a return from that gas on Friday. Most Christians are like, God, send it in. Oh, Jesus, I thank you, Lord, I'm debt-free. I'm free. I thank you, Lord, I'm debt-free. My cars are paid off. And then work shows up. And they're like, oh, God, that's a curse. No, it ain't a curse. It's the blessing. It's the blessing of the Lord. Believing God to get debt free. I believe in God. And the Lord said, ask me for bigger jobs, less work and more money. Sure enough, he did. But it's bigger jobs. Takes longer. Less work. But you know, and I thought, but God, here it is. You believe in Proverbs 10:22 coming in. And I've got to be diligent to go do the work. Somebody say work. Nothing wrong working. He said he'll bless the things that we set our hands to do. He'll bless the works of our hands. He said, the Bible says we will enjoy the fruits of our... I'm enjoying the fruits of my labor. I thought the cow prices went whoop. I mean, they're up, man. I was listening to them over there, and they said, yeah, cow and a calf pair bought $1,600-something. I thought, good God, man, I got some gold sitting over there in that pasture, man. I can give $500 a piece for them cows. Now, man, the cow and the calf is worth $1,600. I went home and told Teresa, I said, bless God, I think I'm going to sell them cows. Man, I can score off them cows. And then when it come down right down to it, I thought, then what am I going to do? I'm not selling my cows. I like working over there. I like my cows. It ain't about the money. I didn't do it for the money. I did it because I felt like the Lord told me that I could have cows in Deuteronomy 28. I'd never noticed cows in there until that happened. Now I've got the blessing. Tracy, she said, what you going to do with that bull? I said, I'm going to kill him. I'm going to kill him. And then she said, well, you need to be doing it. And I thought, no, I'm serious. I'm going to put him in. You better be getting some more deep freezes. He gonna dress out 1,000 or better. He going to dress out about 1,000 pounds, man. I said, no, I'm going to kill him. And then I'm going to enjoy him. You won't never get out of that fence again. See what I told you? I told you I was going to kill you. And now I'm eating you. Y'all might get some steaks. Hey, man. The blessing's moving in at faith way. What happened? A whole truckload of steaks, man, ribeyes and sirloins and, man, all kind of roast came in. It was Jesus. Might kill one for y'all. You go to the grocery store, I don't need no meat for a year. Black God, the Lord blessed me with plenty of meat. Well, you know what? I didn't believe God to do that. What would be wrong with that? Nothing. Take up an offering. Hey, I'm going to take up an offering. I got 3 bulls. All of y'all be partakers of this blessing. I'm going to take up an offering. It's going to cost about $2,500 to dress them, and that's all we need. And y'all got the rest of the meat free. I'm always looking to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. I'm blessed. Why would I not want to bless? I'm blessed. Hallelujah. You're blessed. But you know what? You got to be diligent. You got to be diligent to keep your mouth off of poverty, lack, and unbelief. Don't ever say again, let it come out of your mouth. I never told Travis you can't afford nothing. I never told it. Never. Even when we was a kid. When he was a kid and we didn't have the money to buy things that he wanted, I'd never let it, never, never let it come out of my mouth, I can't afford it. He never heard that cuss word. I'd say we can have whatever Jesus says, son. So you ask Jesus, I'm going to ask Jesus, and if Jesus says we can have it, then we got the money already. I never taught him. I always taught him, find the will of God. You find the will of God, son, concerning a truck. You find the will of God concerning a car. You find the will of God concerning, he bought a motorcycle. I told him, I said, it ain't the will of God. He wrecked that motorcycle and dislocated his leg and hip and all of that stuff, you know. And then they come over, and his insurance people come over, adjuster and all that. And I told that guy, he called and he said, well, he said, we can have it fixed. I said, meet me back over there. So he met me back over there. I helped him, Johnny. So I told that guy, I said, you see that crack right there? He said, yeah. I said, I want this bike total. You know why I want it total? I'm helping him get out of the flesh deal he made. So they totaled that bike, paid it off, and he never done it again. I said, that was the flesh, son. I even drawed it out for you. I drawed it out that you are going to pay $7,000 for that bike. And when you get done, you told me how many years, how much your payments was. And when you get done, you are going to pay $14,000 for that Ninja. So he told me, I'm glad you got me out of that one, Dad. I said, I didn't. I said, the Lord, I said, now next time the Lord tells you, get your flesh under control, just do it. Next one, he said, bless God, I'm paying cash. I said, that a boy. I said, there you go. He said, boy, I don't know why. Well, I'm stupid. He said, I was thinking stupid. I said, no, your flesh wanted that bike regardless of the cost. I said, don't be dumb about this. You wanted it. It didn't matter what it was going to cost you. You was willing to pay whatever it cost. That's not diligent. That's not bearing rule. I said, now when you do it now, I said, you done made your mind up because you got hooked and God blessed you and he delivered you. I said, now you're going to go around. Now, both of his are paid for. They're paid for, both of them. He got a 08 Harley Super Glider. I don't know what it is. And then he's got an 06 Honda V-Star with tuners. And it'll suck the Harley up. I'd rather have it than the Harley. He's got all that paid for. Now he says, Dad, it pays to be diligent, don't it, Dad? I said, yes, it does, son. I said, now you got real motorcycles. You had a little crotch rocket. You had a little mini bike with a supersized engine on it, man. You had to lay down. Now you got a man's bike. You can just rock and cruise with all the rest of the big dogs. I said, because they ain't going to let you ride in their gang with a mini bike. I was messing with him, Johnny. But you know what? He learned from that, and now he's diligent. He tells me all the time, yeah, Dad, I paid an extra $100 on my house this last month. I said, you go, boy. I cheer him on. He said, it might not seem like a lot. I said, yeah, but over 20 years, son, you'll take off years. You'll knock down years off your house, maybe 2 or 3 years, extra $100 a month. He does it on, he's seen Dad do it. I've never went full term with nothing in, I don't know, 15, 20 years. I paid it off early. Believe God to pay it off early. See, look, if you fellowship with the Lord, he's the one that trains you to do these things. He's the one that saves you. I heard one ministry that everybody was like, let's borrow the money. And they're like, no, let's go debt free. They saved $27 million of interest. That's a lot of interest. $27 million. Now their ministry is like, you know, I mean, it's on up there like worth $4, $5, $6, or $7 million. So $270,000 not a lot of money. Talking about $4 or $5 million or more. Some of them worth $130 million ministries. I'm like, God, we're running behind. Man, we're only worth about $180,000 these buildings. We're way behind, Lord. He's like, well, you ain't released your faith. I said, but I told you, Lord. I told you I'm believing for a new building. He said, you ain't took not one step toward it. He don't sugarcoat nothing for me. I don't want him to. Kind of like Teresa, she told me one time, she said, you gotta be brutally honest with yourself. And I said, I don't want to be brutally honest with myself. About me. You might want to be brutally honest. Well, go beat yourself up in the mirror. I don't want to be brutally honest right now. Listen, I just don't want to see it all right now, okay? I know it's there. And now here she is again. You got to be brutally. She preaches this at home, Johnny. Y'all get the best part. She practices on me. Y'all get a little 30-minute sermonette. I get it day after day after day. That woman studies this stuff. She gets in there, man, and be like, I'll be like, where you at? I'm studying. 2 hours later, where you at? I'm studying. Leave me alone. I'm trying to concentrate. I'm like, oh, man, can't you spend some time with me? I'm spending time with the Lord. Well, what about me? You'll be okay. He's yours too. But I'd rather have her in there with the Lord. Yes. Yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord. That's why I can sing it, baby. Yeah. And likewise with me, praise God. So I want to encourage you, be diligent. Whatever you know is the will of God. Be diligent to pray. Be diligent to confess the word of God. Be diligent to keep your words lined up with God's word. I'm just sick. I'm just weak. I hear Christians say it all the time. They say, well, if it ain't one thing. I was going up there. I was going to pay for this woman's computer board, okay? I went up there to do it. I went up to Lacey Springs up yonder above between Huntsville and here and put a lady, a new operator in, Christian. Told me I'm a good Christian woman. That's good. That's good. I serve Jesus. I pastor down the Lord. We talked about the Lord. And before I could get the new operator in, she's, if it ain't one thing, it's another. I mean, this happened. Now my porch is falling in, blah, blah. I mean, plumb depressed me while I'm trying to enjoy the works of my hand. I get that in there. And about 2 weeks later, lightning struck and hit it. Well, now she's going to try to turn it in on the insurance company. So the insurance company called me. She said, you know, but it's going to cost. I said, yeah, the first time was $580. I said, it's $340 to $360 to fix it. And she said, well, that's not really enough to turn in a claim. I said, well, that's between you and her. That's none of my business. I said, that's what it's going to cost you to fix that. I'm just telling you. So I had to fill out forms, you know, for them and send them. Well, I was going up there, and I thought, well, Lord, shoot, man, she's a widow woman, you know, man. I mean, I'll just pay for it. I'll just pay for it, you know. I'll fix it and just let her have it, you know. And that was my mind. I'm going to go up there. Well, I get up there, and that woman begins to, she says, well, maybe you plugged it in the wrong slot. I said, what? The opener? Yeah. You plugged it in that surge protector up there. You said it's working. I said, I don't specialize in surge protectors, lady. I don't know if your surge protector's working or not. I said, I know it got power to the opener. I said, but that's not my fault. Whether your surge protector's working or what, well, no matter what slot I put it in, I said, it is what it is. Like that. And she said, well, I bought a new one. I said, well, give it to me. Well, it wouldn't plug in. It wasn't, she got a security system thing or whatever the case might be. Now, I'll go ahead and fix it, you know. I lost all my grace. I mean, she talked me out of not giving it to her. And so I said, it won't plug in. Are you sure? I said, get up off of that chair. I said, walk over here, right here. Won't you stand right over there? She marches over there. I said, right there. Gaze your eyes up here. I told her, bless God. Don't believe me, it won't plug in. Really, I'm standing here and you can't see it. You ain't even around there. So I tried to plug it in. It wouldn't plug in because it was offset. So I handed it to her and I plugged it back in that other one. I made the ticket up. I said, you pay me. I said, you just pay me, and if you can get it out of the insurance company, good. If you can't, that's your loss. I don't cover electricity. I said, don't call it an act of God. I said, God didn't shoot that. God didn't strike that. I said, Christians all over the planet, that done had me stirred up. I said, calling this stuff an act of God. I told that one contractor, he said, I don't pay for an act of God. I said, I'm not Jesus. I'm not God. I'm not asking you to pay God for something he done. You pay me. You can blame that on your God if you won't. Well, he wouldn't pay. Well, you know what? He called me up later. The diligent will bear root. He called me up later. Hey, Mr. Weston, I need a price on the door. I said, yes, sir. Hung up, and I said, here's my $165 you owed me for 5 years ago. Here's an extra $100 for me putting up with him for over 3 years and not getting mad and having to work out love. And then I'm going to charge $150 because it's an hour and 10 minutes. So I may, that act of God cost him $500. I got my money with interest. I didn't tell him nothing. Maybe he won't listen today. Praise God. Hallelujah. See, if we stay diligent, we bear rule, praise God. So if you in a trial, stay diligent. If you ain't in a trial, stay diligent. Just be diligent. Just stay diligent. Train yourself to be diligent. I told Teresa, she said, I just can't go to sleep. I said, you got to go to bed. I guarantee you, man, you give me a bean bag, I throw down on the floor down there, and I'll program that TV out, I'll be snoring on the bean bag. Oh, she's got in there watching these movies where it's action. And you got action going on. Your adrenaline's pumping. Read the Bible. You'll fall right asleep. 10 o'clock, baby, you'll be asleep. You'll be so sleepy you can't hold your head up. 10 o'clock, just read the Bible. I said, I can help you. I said, I just need you to go with me for a couple of days. And you will be tired. Travis had trouble going to sleep. We've been busy for 3 months. He told me the other day, he said, buddy, I'm going to bed at 10 o'clock. I don't have no trouble going to sleep. What changed, son? You're too tired to game. You got a job. You're finally working over 2.5 days a week. He had to be told. I'd give him the phone. Wednesday night, right after church, I give him that phone, and he goes in Wednesday, Thursday evening, and tells Beth, "I'm not going nowhere." Something down that nature. He said, "I'm physically tired and I'm mentally tired." That thing puts stress on you, man. That phone ringing, it's ringing. I'm up yonder fishing. He calls on Tracy's phone. Tracy said, "Don't call unless it's an emergency." Better been an emergency. Well, he had to call and ask me a couple of questions while I was fishing, you know, and everything. Well, I hung up the phone. She said, that's good for him. She said, he must have the pressure of that phone because if he ever takes over, he won't be ready for it. That's the way me and you got to be in this game called life. We got to be prepared. Let the trials and let whatever comes our way push us closer and deeper in the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Father, we pray.